Thank you. And I'd like to invite the boys and girls, members of our church school, to join me at the front for a few moments here, please. How's everybody today? All right, so Sam Dolly, why don't you stand right here? Hi, how's everybody this morning? Yeah. Everybody get in here okay? I know it was a little slippery out there this morning. Yeah, it was a little slippery, wasn't it? Yeah. But we're all here. That's very good. Okay, I want to tell you, this Christmas day, after we've had our Christmas Eve service here, we're going to, my wife, Michelle, and I are going to go to West Virginia for the week between Christmas and New Year's to spend with my mother and so my sister's down there. That's where I'm from. That's where I spent the first 20 years of my life before going on to other places. And that's where the story I want to read to you comes from. Written by a woman from West Virginia, from some of the hill country there, and she tells a story that comes out of that region. It's called Appalachia. Appalachia is a range of mountains that runs through West Virginia. So these guys here are going to help me tell the story. They're going to hold it up so you can see the pages, and I'm going to tell you the story. So why don't we open to the first page there? Is there? There you go. It's called the Christmas Train. No, it's called Silver Packages, but it's about a Christmas train. All right, you're ready to go. A train comes through Appalachia every year at Christmas time. People call it the Christmas train, and it's been coming to them for years. Each new child in the mountains wears the Christmas train. It's everyone's delight. The older people remember the beginning. They tell of a rich man who came traveling through the hills many years ago. He had an accident. His car slid right off the side of a ridge. He was hurt and scared, and somebody found him. The rich man was taken out of his car and brought to a house in the hills. He was cared for until he could make it out on his own. He tried to give money to the people who helped him, but they would not accept it. So he thought he owed them a debt. And for the remaining years of his life, he repaid them the caboose of a Christmas train he brings to the hills every December. From the platform of the caboose, he tosses a sparkling silver package to each child who waits beside the tracks. For some children, it is the only present they will receive. One year, a boy named Frankie stands by the tracks. His shoes are thin and his feet hurt badly from the cold, but he's determined to wait, even if his feet and all the rest of him turn to ice. He wants a doctor's kit. He's been waiting for it beside the tracks. The train comes through. Everybody loves to see it, and they cheer and clap, and some of the parents weep when they see it. Frankie stands by the tracks, praying for a doctor's kit. He waves and runs after the train, his icy feet aching. From the platform, the rich man in the wool coat sees him and calls out, "Merry Christmas!" He tosses a sparkling package into Frankie's hands. Frankie is so out of breath he cannot even yell out a thank you. He can only hold tight to his gift and wave to the man as the train disappears into the mountains. Frankie carries the package home. On Christmas morning, he opens it. It isn't a doctor's kit. It's a cowboy holster set with three pairs of bright red socks. Frankie looks at his mother and father and brothers and sisters and tries not to cry. He wears the socks all winter and plays with the cowboy set, but he dreams of a doctor's kit. The next year, Frankie waits again in the cold for the Christmas train. The socks still fit him so his feet are warm, but his fingers are cold and hurting. The train comes. The man tosses the silver package. On Christmas morning, Frankie opens it. No. It's a little police car with lights that really work and two pair of brown mittens. Frankie doesn't cry. He wears the mittens all winter and plays with the car all year. Frankie always waits for the train. He gets trucks and balls and games and mittens and hats and socks and scarves, but the doctor's kit never comes. Now here's Frankie as a grown man. See him? He's all grown up now. When Frankie grows up, he moves out of the hills. He lives in different places and changes a little into a different kind of person, but never changing are his memories. What he remembers most is being a boy in the hills, and just when it seemed his feet would freeze, a man on a train had bought socks. And just when it seemed his fingers were going to turn to ice, the man had brought mittens. And just when the cold wind was hurting his throat, the man had brought a scarf. And when his ears were numb with cold, the man had bought a hat. And Frankie remembered something about owing a debt. So a grown man who's been gone a long time moves back to the mountains to live. His brothers and sisters are still waiting for him. He returns to the hills where he grew up, and near Christmas he watches the children who are waiting for the train that still comes. The grown man Frankie watches the engine move towards him. He watches the caboose go by. So strong are his memories that the grown man Frankie nearly runs after a silver package. But instead he watches a little girl chase the caboose, and watches a man in a wool coat toss her a silver package, and watches her fall hard to the ground. The grown man Frankie does run now, but not for the train, not for the man in the wool coat, but for the girl. He picks her up. He wipes away her tears with the scarf from around his neck. He smiles at her. "It's okay," he says. The train disappears into the trees. Frankie had meant to wave to the man giving out the silver packages, but there wasn't time. He picks up the silver package and puts it in the little girl's arms. "You'll be all right," he tells her. "I'll make sure." He pulls open his kit to look for a Band-Aid. "My name is Frank," he says. "I'm a doctor." And that's the story of silver packages from the place where I grew up and lived.